Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, June 4th, 2021. I'm Ray Graff. Today we're joined by a Food Friday favorite, Chef Rick Orlando, owner of Richter's Scale brand and Flavor Maker Spices. He's joining us to answer your questions about outdoor cooking and flavoring. If you got a question, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We've done a lot of Food Fridays since the pandemic began. This is the first one where our chef is in the studio and the food smells terrific. Going to be fun Food Friday today. 800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Rick Orlando, and we'll outdoor cook coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and today with us we have Chef Rick Orlando in person to share some outdoor cooking and flavoring tips and tricks. You know Rick, he beat Bobby Flay. He won on Chopped twice. He's all over TV. He's been on Live from Daryl's House. He's a singer. He's a musician. And after 20 years of cooking upstate, Rick now owns the Richter Scale brand of seasonings and condiments and Flavor Maker spices. They're the exact seasoning used in his award-winning New World restaurants, and Richter Scale sauces are his special unique blends. They're really good. The number to call here if you want to talk about grilling and outside cooking, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Rick Orlando, nice to see you again, sir. How you doing?
Ray, it's great to be back in the studio. Yeah. Great to have the studio smelling like food again, and it's great to see you sweat again.
Okay, so here's the thing. I am of Germanic heritage.
Yes.
We handle beer very well, but not spices very well. And before the show, I had one of your wings, which we'll discuss in a moment, with some of the purple haze sauce, which I literally, despite the perspiration, I could swig this stuff from a bottle. It's amazing.
Thank you. The hot sauce market is very different from the seasonings market.
Yeah.
The hot sauce market is kind of like the craft beer market.
Yeah.
There's a lot of geeks, a lot of collectors, a lot of quirkiness. And there's a lot of what is what we call shock sauces. How hot can you go, right?
Right.
I'm not going there. My sauces are really flavor forward. They're hot, but you can swig them. You can drink them. And people laugh. They say, I bought a bottle of Dirty Blonde and a bottle of Purple Haze and went through it in a week.
No, I believe it.
Yeah.
You can put it on almost anything.
We were putting the Dirty Blonde on chicken and waffles the other day, and we went through a whole bottle with four people.
Wowzers. And, you know, immediately, of course, this is the way my mind runs. I say, you know, the Purple Haze, we can make a cocktail out of that.
Yeah, I think it works in a little Bloody Mary. I've actually done a little bit with tequila. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, tequila was my original thought. I said, you know, we can make something happen.
Yeah, because people put jalapenos and chilies in tequila. Why not put a drop of Purple Haze? It's got such complexity, and it makes the drink look pretty, too.
Brilliant. And, of course, we can talk about drinking and spices all day long. But one thing I do want to talk about right away, and once again, our number, if you want to talk to Chef Rick Orlando, is 800-348-2551, is the way you made the wings. You made these outside or on a grill?
On my grill, yeah.
My God, they're perfect. All right, explain this process.
Well, that's what we want to talk about today, is ways to use your grill,
yeah,
right? So even at the restaurant, we did not deep fry the wings from the get-go. We baked them, but it's all about marinating them. And simple marinade. So I use on that just a little bit of lime juice.
Yeah.
And the dobe, which is my Latin adobo seasoning. Marinate them for about 4 hours. Grilled them till they were charred. And then I put them in a cast iron pan and close the grill.
Oh.
So they don't dry out. They sit in the pan and just kind of self-baste. And that's a great technique, is using cast iron skillets on your grill, especially if it's a grill that you can close, whether it's a green egg, a kettle, you know, like a big Weber kettle. I happen to have a gas grill.
Yeah.
So my wife bought me a Kenmore gas grill about 5 years ago as a Father's Day present. I also have a charcoal grill, but I only use it once in a while because...
Takes a while.
But here's my trick with the gas grill. So if you're going to buy a gas grill, you want to buy a grill where the burners are, I guess you would call it vertical, like they're going straight lines away from you.
Perpendicular to where you are standing.
Straight up, yeah. Again, so not the long way, but the short way.
Right.
and you have like two sides of the grill.
Yeah.
Because then you can have a hot side and a cool side.
Yeah.
So that's the secret. But what I did, I made, I guess you call it a MacGyver. You ever see those square, they're called grill woks. They're like perforated little pans.
Yeah.
So I bought one of those. On the right side of the grill, I put that in there and I put charcoal in it. On the left side of the grill, I have gas. And the charcoal side, I just turn the gas on for about 3 minutes so the charcoal's going, turn it off, and I've got charcoal so I can go from one side to the other.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't you just put a pan like that and some wood chips and do it that way?
Yeah, but the charcoal's a different flavor than wood chips, and it gives a lot more heat. And then, of course, closing the lid. So I closed the lid on those. The grill got up to about 600 degrees. So they roasted really fast,
yeah.
And then they just cool down, and they're delicious.
My God, you know, the thing about wings, and a lot of my family, they love wings. And I'm not that crazy about them because they can be too sloppy. These are not at all. These
sloppy
are
sloppy or bland, aside from the sauce. A lot of places will just take raw wings, no seasoning, throw them in a fryer, douse them with sauce.
Yeah.
So the outside tastes good, but the inside's not flavorful. So I've always been big on marinating. I'm a huge fan of marinating and brining. Years ago, when I first started chefing at Yates Street in Albany, talking the late 80s, I got a book called Foods of the Sun. I can't remember the writer's name. She was from South Arizona, maybe, or New Mexico.
Yeah.
But it had a whole chart on different cuts of meat and vegetables and fish, and then dry marinades, wet marinades, pestos, dry rubs, how to season meat. And I kind of used that as a Bible as a kid, and that learning process stayed in my head. But everything I put on the grill, I never put anything unseasoned on the grill, ever.
You know, that was one of the best wings I have ever had. Let's take an email here, and then we will take a break shortly, and then we'll hit the phones. Our guest today is Chef Rick Orlando. The number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Brennan writes, question about grilling. Is grilling with the lid down the same thing as baking something, and should that be avoided?
It could be the same thing as baking something. It creates a convection heat, and it absolutely should not be avoided. It's one of the best ways to use your grill. The lid is your friend. Too many people do weird things like microwave or boil chicken before they grill it.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid it's going to be raw on the bone. Wherein if you grill it on higher heat, get that nice look to it, then move it over to the side. You can put it in a pan, a cast iron skillet, even a pie tin, and close the lid. You can make sure you get it cooked through, because then you're going to start, you're still going to have that flavor, especially if there's charcoal going.
Yeah.
But you're going to bake it through. I think it's one of the secrets of grilling outside is knowing how to use your lid.
I completely agree with you there. And one of the things that we did for Christmas, I got my wife a meat thermometer. Mm-hmm. And for years, you and everybody else says,
get your probe thermometer. Yeah.
You know, I've never done that. And so I'm good with beef, and I could do a London broil just using my Jedi mind tricks.
Mm-hmm.
But chicken always scared me. Doing pork chops always scared me. With the meat thermometer, we have not failed yet, because you say, okay, there it is. Now it's going to rest, and it's done, and it's perfect.
And the high-low. I've done enough Thanksgiving shows and explained how to cook turkey with the high-low.
Yeah.
It's the same thing on the grill. You sear it good, get it nice and crusty, and then move it to a slower part. Some people wrap it in foil, which is fine, whatever. I just move it to the other side of the grill and close the lid and let it cook to the temperature you want.
You know, it's funny. There was someone on this program, or maybe I imagined it. It's been so many years now. But I think, I do the same thing. Sear it, put it up top, close, let it go.
Right.
Slow and low, really, after that. I think that there is another school of thought that says go slow at the beginning and then char it at the end.
Well, let me shoot that down and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I'll turn it out by Bill Clinton and I'll tell you why.
All right.
What happens when you cook protein, talking meats and fish and chicken, the molecules start to move. They create friction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going fast at first, the molecules get going really quickly, and then you move them to a slower part, they kind of slow down and coast, and the meat stays really tender and beautiful.
Yeah.
When you're searing really fast, the meat's going to be a little tougher because the proteins are stretching and they're pulling like elastics. So for me, if I started something slow and then finished it hot, it may have some sizzle. And sometimes I'll take, a piece of meat and put it on the hot side after it's been cooked.
Yeah.
Just to get the last minute sizzle. But if you cook it a long time on the heat after you started slow, chances are you may have a tougher cut of meat because of the molecular dance that the protein is doing.
Very interesting indeed. We'll take a quick break here. Chef Rick Orlando is here, and we're talking grilling and outdoor cooking. 800-348-2551 is our number. He brought a lot of food. We'll talk about that, too, and all kinds of great spices. We'll be back. It's Food Friday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Rick Orlando joins us. And before we get to the phones and talk about food again.
Well, excuse me. There are still beads of sweat on your head. Right?
They won't go away. I swear to you. We'll have to crank the air conditioner down to 12 and I'll still have sweat. You do music as well. Anything going on? I mean, the pandemic has been so bizarre for so many people. I assume that you haven't done as much pop-up restaurants and what have you, and maybe you've done some music?
Yeah, I'm going to say something a little challenging. The pandemic has been a wonderful time for me. It's been a horrible time for the world, and I would never take that away, right? But on a personal measure, to be able to have a year or even 8 months to kind of stop is amazing. We all need that. I mean, so many people I know said, boy, that was like weird therapy. At first, I was in a panic, and I was like, oh, my God, what a lifestyle. Yeah. My wife is a public defender, and just this week, they're mandated to go back into the office every day.
Yeah.
She's been working from home for the last year. It's been kind of an interesting, and I was able to develop this new product line, get out of the grind of restaurants. But, yes, I did some music. My dear friend Andy Chernoff, if you don't know him, he was the founder and brains behind one of the, I guess, you know, the pivotal bands that changed rock and roll in New York called the Dictators in the 70s, along with the Ramones and a few other bands.
Oh, boy.
You know, he lives up near us, and we played together in a little cover band called Rick the Chef for a while. And he called me in the middle of the pandemic and said, I'm going to send you a little MP3 of a song called Born Hungry. Take a look at it, see what you think. So he wanted me to sing it.
Yeah.
Well, I tweaked the lyrics a little bit because I wanted to get my own flow. But we recorded it, and he's releasing it. It's going out. It's going to be going out on major distribution. Little Stevie from Stevie's Underground Garage always plays when Andy releases.
Really?
So you hear it around. It's
all
a campy song. It kind of NRBQ-ish, kind of barrel house rock kind of thing.
Nothing wrong with that.
Born Hungry, baby.
All right, so that we'll be looking for that one. Rick Orlando is our guest, 800-348-2551. And we go to the phones at a moment. The Trinidaddy Caribbean hot mustard sauce. Yeah, man.
Well, you know, when I first, and there's little stories on the bottle, when I first discovered the magic of capsicum, of chilies, and their health benefits, but also the endorphins and the fun of cooking with them, I was living in Queens. Well, I was in Boston at first when I discovered it, but then I moved to Queens, and I met this guy named Badassi. He was a Trinidadian guy, and I just met him somewhere, and he said, come to my store. He had a store and a little takeout. And he turned me on to Trinidadian yellow mustard sauce, which has got habanero, a little bit of that curry flavor, but a lot of turmeric. And I fell in love with it. So what I did was that I want to produce my own rendition of that. Great on anything from a hot dog or a vegan hot dog. Great on a grilled cheese sandwich. It's great on like rice and beans. You know, you can pour some out and taste it later. It won't kill you. It's a notch less hot.
It looks like a very small liquor bottle.
It's a medicine bottle. And you know what? I started with those. And because of the pandemic, the supply chains are a disaster, and I couldn't get more of them for the Purple Haze and Blonde, so I went to the 5 ounce. We may eventually, now that things are loosening up, but there was such shortages on packaging materials, it was unbelievable.
You know, you mentioned something, and Rhonda in Nassau, you'll be first. Hang in there. I'm coming to you right now. Mustard on grilled cheese, it's a must.
Yeah.
It is absolutely essential to make
mustard on French fries, too.
All right, I'm with you there. Let's go to the phones, 800-348-2551. Rhonda is in Nassau. Rhonda, you're on.
Hi, Rhonda.
Hi. Hi, Ray. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Good.
Good. Listen, Rick, I kind of want an academic answer and a personal answer, both.
Uh-oh.
When I used to love heat, you know, in food, and when I developed my chronic illness, lo and behold, I couldn't tolerate heat anymore because it's really kind of a pain, you know, kind of pain. at a certain level. So I've gained some of my ability to have it back, but very little. So I guess I want to ask you about the relationship between spice and heat, and how do I look at something and have a sense of the getting the flavors from the particular chili or something, but not having it be so hot that I can't eat it.
Okay, well, that's a
I
great...
don't need you to have a whole problem.
No, no, I can summarize a few things for you. First of all, you know that the capsicum in chilies is actually really great for your digestion, really great for your blood pressure. It's very good for you. It's the opposite of what people, it makes me sick. Usually it's the fried tortilla chips you've had with it that make you sick. But on that note, if you cut a chili in half the long way, you'll see there are ribs going down the center. The heat of a chili does not live in the seeds at all. The seeds are bland. It lives in the ribs that the seeds are connected to. So the seeds are kind of stuck like Pee Wee Herman stuck by his head going, oh, I'm stuck. But they get the heat. But the ribs. So if you look at a pepper, as you get down towards the bottom away from the stem, the ribs usually end close to that part. And they're usually maybe a half an inch, depending on the chili, with no ribs. So you can use that part of the pepper and kind of make sure you cook it. And also, you know, there are antidotes, right? Antidotes are always a dairy product will coat your mouth. A Riesling, a white wine will coat your mouth. I remember working in Boston when Chris Schlesinger would do Hell Nights where every course would get hotter and hotter. Wow. After the third course, he would give out orange creamsicles, which had sugar, citrus, and dairy all in one and cooled you down. But yeah, I mean, you could do that. One of the tricks that the old Italians would do is they would take a bite off the bottom of the hot pepper because they knew there were no ribs there and say, it's not hot, you try it. And then you would take the bite and look at them like, how'd you do that? But yeah, start from the bottom. The other thing is to roast them and then also balance them. You know, I mean, if you look at the parts of the world that eat chilies every single day, there's always lots of cellulose in their diet.
Yeah.
Beans, cabbage, you know, because the capsicum molecules bind with cellulose and make it easier to digest. So make sure you're eating it with the right things.
Where did you learn all this stuff?
I don't know. I'm an academic geek.
I mean, you sound like you're a chemist. Hey, Rhonda, thanks a lot for the call. Rick Orlando's our guest. Rick, before we get to the next call, while you were chatting with Rhonda, I had one of the greatest things I have ever had. And I'm not joking. The grilled feta and eggplant and onions, it's off the charts.
Thank you.
Where did you come up with that one?
I had a fire. I had grill. No, I'm only kidding.
It's amazing,
man. I grill eggplant. My wife's gluten-free, so we make grilled eggplant parm a lot. But yeah, that's just lemon and a little vinegar and olive oil. And then I grow oregano and I cut it. As a matter of fact, I've just cut new ones, cut the bunches and hang them to dry and just crumble the homegrown oregano on it. That's it.
That is one of the best things I have ever had. And the cheese.
Grilled feta. And that's the Bulgarian sheep's feta, so it's nice and tangy. You can pop it on the grill just for a minute. It'll maybe melt a little bit, but you know it starts to get that little char on the outside.
Yeah, it's solid though, and that's what you taste on the feta. It's just that charred taste, and it's really amazing. Rick Orlando is our guest. Sean is in Queensbury. Sean,
hi, Sean.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Great,
nice to talk to you, Rick. The first question I had was about. Well, I'll tell you right away. About 20 years ago, I just started cooking strictly on wood, as far as when I grilled outside.
Yeah.
And one of my questions was about the, you know, keeping it moist and using the cast iron pan is just music to my ears. Beautiful
thing.
It's
great.
The question I have is, there's two. One is I go to a lot of, not campgrounds, but, you know, picnic areas, state parks, and grill on the grills there. And that's always a tough act to keep the meat in good shape. And the second one question I have is that, I don't use a lot of spices. I've always used the smoke to, you know, flavor the meat. And I'm a little done with that. So, I mean, a beginner's course on spices for that sort of thing, for chicken, steak, pork, whatever. I guess those are my two questions. One is the
You can certainly Google away. But what you want to do is it depends on the cut you're grilling. But if you're grilling a heavier cut of meat, a loin cut, brining is a really good idea. That way you don't have to put a lot of seasoning on the outside. And brining is usually a mixture of water, salt, maybe a little sugar and spices. And through osmosis, you know, it absorbs into the meat and then cooks out. Dry rubs are really, really great on birds with skin and stuff. You know, you do, and then also adding your moisture factor. Like we grill, we'll do chickens and always squeeze some lemon and olive oil into it. But dry rubs are great. And, you know, of course, I sell six fabulous dry rubs, but you can also make your own. But the idea of a dry rub is it's going to pull.
I'm aware of that.
We all are.
They're going to pull a dry rub, especially on skin, is going to pull some of the liquid to the surface so that when the skin cooks, it gets crispier. And, of course, that first hit of flavor is what makes you excited about food, right? So that works
well. If you pull a lot of skin off? What if you pull a lot of skin off of your whatever you're cooking, well, chicken?
Then you're looking at a boneless, skinless. So that's inherently going to get dry because there's no internal fat. So brining that is crucial. Just a marinade, okay. You know, and it doesn't have to be a sticky, gloppy marinade. A simple brine. Ratio of water to salt to sugar and maybe some thyme or allspice or cinnamon, whatever you
similar
want to
similar to the way you do turkey.
Yeah, exactly. And then
I like the brine idea. I never considered that either.
So we brine chicken breast all the time.
The cast iron option and the brining. Cast iron and brining, for me, is like, that's pretty cool.
Well, the cool thing about cast iron, yeah, you grill them, throw them in the cast iron skillet after they've got the marks and stuff, and then the juices will stay with the meat as opposed to just dripping down and burning off the grill.
Sean, thanks a lot.
Now, thanks, buddy.
Looping back to the chicken wings that we had at the beginning of the show, you marinated them, right?
Squeezed the lime on them and put the dry adobo or dobe run. All the spices are four-letter words because that's what the cooks call them in the kitchen.
Right. So you have perk.
Dope. Pass me the dope. Pass me the Q-rub, the perk, you know. Yeah, they're all abbreviations. Cage was short for Cajun seasoning. It's hard to get a cook to use more than one syllable
there's not
when they're
time.
Busy.
There's just,
too many syllables, right?
But basically, the wings are, it's almost like a dry rub with a little lemon or lime.
Yeah, that just gives it a little acidity, a little brightness.
By the way, we're in trouble here. My buddy John Fisher from the Culinary Institute writes in, I'm a little upset I'm not your first in-studio Food Friday guest because cocktails, but at least it's Rick in there today. I'm curious if Rick agrees with me that the only way to cook asparagus is to grill it.
I agree with you that grilled asparagus is delicious, but it's not the only way to cook it. I grew up with French cooks where you would snap off the very bottom and then peel most of the asparagus and poach it in a 50-50 mix of water and butter. Come on.
Okay.
Come on, John.
We broil it.
Water and butter, poached asparagus. Yeah, they're all good. Grilled asparagus is good. We grill all kinds of things. Ray may tell you soon. I brought him a whole dish of grilled fruit.
Yeah, and we're going to do that
in
a little
bit. Put a little barbecue rub on it. We did pineapple, peaches, banana, and apple.
All right, so the next break or the next call, I'll start on that. Let's go to Jack in Worthington, Massachusetts. Jack.
Yeah, hey, Jack. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I just got a sort of simple way that I do the ribs, but I do them on the grill, and I take and put them in a deep baking pan, you know, one of those aluminum throwaway jobs, and I dry rub them. I put a can of beer in there. I put them on the cold side of the grill and run the other side as high as I can, which gets the grill to about 250 degrees, 3 hours on the grill, and they're done, and then take them out and char them.
Char them up. Yeah, that works. And, I mean, any kind of ribs... Because of the nature of ribs, the layers of protein and fat, you need to cook them slowly,
The fat.
Yeah, you need to cook them slowly.
Yeah, they come out really good when you cook them for 3 hours.
Yeah,
really
what do you rub them with?
And you can do a whole lot of other things while you're doing it. You only got to turn them once in a while.
Yeah.
The other thing, I haven't tried your sauces, which I would love to try to find, but when I lived in the Cayman Islands, on the table every day was something called pica pepper.
I love pica pepper. I love pica
pepper.
And
it's made in Jamaica. I got to tell you that when I left the Cayman Islands, I put 4 cases in my truck because I didn't think I'd ever find it again.
Hey, I'm actually going to be releasing a replica of that eventually. You know what the secret ingredient in pica pepper is, do you?
Pepper?
It's the tamarind, isn't
it? Tamarind, exactly. Tamarind, that sour... Yeah. Sour, it's, tangy magic. It's also
in
Worcestershire.
It's not really spicy, but I'll tell you, there isn't anything that I don't put it on.
It's in my magic meatloaf recipe.
And if I don't catch my wife really quick, she does her gravies with it, too, and at $4.50 a bottle, that's a little tough on me.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Joan is in Schenectady. Joan, how are you?
I am very well today. How are you, Ray?
I am well.
Is this the legendary Joan?
The one who caused trouble during the astronomy
show
yesterday.
Yeah, Joan. I want to use your voice for advertising. You have an amazing delivery.
Oh, my goodness. We'll talk later.
Okay.
but today I am asking about grilling, and in particular vegetables.
Yes.
My garden is now 3 years old, and I finally have the onion sets in, mm-hmm. the potato seeds they're all coming up. So I don't use aluminum, so I can't right. keep any kind of moisture in with aluminum foil.
Right.
But you mentioned cast iron, mm-hmm. and I gotta say 90% of my cooking with mm-hmm. cast iron.
Yeah, I put mine right on the grill.
Yeah,
I can take it.
Yeah.
But you know, grilling vegetables is a love of mine, and at times I was really getting into heavy marinades. Right now I go a little bit lighter, but I always brush them with a little bit of oil, and not extra virgin olive oil, but not crappy oil. I use grapeseed oil because they have no internal fat, so they'll dry. The heat will dry them. So you want to kind of marinate them. A little bit of oil, obviously a pinch of salt, which will help caramelize them. And then you can go in a lot of directions. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I'll throw whole sprigs of rosemary in the bowl. Sometimes I'll take, like, if I'm doing a bowl of, say, zucchini and eggplant and peppers and onions, I'll put like a tablespoon of molasses in there just to get and mix it in just to get some caramelization. Because when you char something on the grill, those marks are the sugars inherent in the vegetable or meat coming to the surface and burning. That's why they kind of taste like toasted marshmallow,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You're burning the sugars.
Right.
So if you add a little, like if you take a bowl and put a little bit of olive oil, maybe a drop of vinegar, a sprig of rosemary, a pinch of salt, and a spoonful of molasses, whisk that up and coat your vegetables with that, you're going to bring all the natural uh-huh. sweetness of the vegetables. You're going to amplify that sweetness.
Oh, you've made me so hungry.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the grilled eggplant is off the charts, Joan. I can't share it with you over the radio, but I can tell you it's very, very
good. That also went into a cast iron skillet after it was grilled, because there's nothing worse than undercooked eggplant to me.
Yeah.
It's the closest thing to eating cardboard.
Yeah.
It's not even nutritious when it's
undercooked. Have you even tried cardboard?
Yes.
Yeah, I have too. Yeah. Joan, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Rick Orlando is our guest. And Chris is in Housatonic. Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah, I got a question for you, Chef. Could you use some herbal teas to cook in, like, green tea?
Herbal teas and
green tea. I mean, I've used teas in marinades. Green tea, I it's a little tannic, but I use hibiscus quite a lot, or like rose hips and hibiscus tea, especially with chicken and duck. It adds a nice color, adds a little sourness. You know, you add a little oil and some hibiscus tea would work well. Obviously, you can use mint tea if you're making a brine, which is basically water and mint, maybe a little salt and some sweetness. Sure.
Okay.
And I've also cooked with chamomile.
Well, that's what
interesting.
Yeah, chamomile I've done with fish.
Go ahead, Chris.
What?
I've used chamomile with fish.
We're losing you, Chris. We've lost our connection. Well, thanks for that one. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. And let's go to another Chris. This one is in Amherst. Chris, you're on with Rick Orlando.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi.
Quick question. I have a pretty decent cookbook collection. And you mentioned one a little while ago that sounded really interesting, and I don't have it, and I forgot the name of it. I looked it up real quick. And
you could probably get it online for $10 or $5 now. It's called Foods of the Sun by Terry Thompson. It's basically
Thompson, because I looked it up, and it was a Mediterranean Foods of the Sun, and I don't think that's
the
same one.
No, this is Terry Thompson. It's a big book. It's kind of like a Southwestern cooking encyclopedia.
Uh-huh.
Really good stuff. Great recipes, but then in the whole center of the book, there are just charts on grilling and smoking and salsa making, like what chilies go with what. It's really
excellent.
Educational
excellent.
Book. Yeah.
All right.
I don't mind playing, but I just need some guidance.
I am a huge proponent of cookbooks.
Yeah.
I used to tell all my cooks, before you Google, look at the index of a book, because two things are great about books. Number one, they have editors and they have recipe testers.
You're right.
Anybody can put anything online.
Right.
And number two, you have to be good to get a good cookbook published, and you have to know what you're doing. There's people online that I look at these recipes and I'm like, well, they either stolen from Martha Stewart, which is a lot of it, or they've done something once and printed the recipe. You know, making recipes takes repetition, just like music. You say, oh, I can play Stairway to Heaven. Okay. Sure. Practice. You know?
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. You know, that's very elitist. You sound very elitist now.
Ah.
I could do my
curmudgeon time.
Exactly. The old guys. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is our number. Rick Orlando joins us. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's Food Friday. Chef Rick Orlando joins us. The number is 800-348-2551. If you would like to talk about outdoor grilling and amazing seasonings and during the break, I try not to chew too much during the show. It's tough to listen to.
Especially when you're down to 16 or 18 teeth.
I should say it's even tougher to listen to because, you know, it's tough on a good day. Rick, the grilled fruit is a revelation. I mean, I've never had anything like that
Fantastic,
before.
Fantastic, right?
Yeah,
we talked about grilled vegetables. They're very similar. You have in that container pineapple and banana.
Yeah.
Peaches and apples. I think that's what I did. And, you know, you cut them off, cut them flat. Like, so if you have a core, I'd cut into four and leave the core kind of square.
Yeah.
And I rubbed them up with a little bit of oil and barbecue rub, but you can do nothing. But I like the little barbecue rub because it's got some smoky. And I grilled them over wood. And basically, you grill them by putting them on the flesh side down.
Yeah.
And leaving them for like 3 or 4 minutes until they char a little bit. And then you can move them over and let them get as soft or not soft as you like. You can eat them right away or let them just sit.
Well,
and
it's funny.
Tender.
The apple was very firm.
Yeah.
The peach, which was
buttery.
Incredible, was just very buttery. And I put some of the sauce, whatever that sauce is, in the jar.
That's one of my barbecue sauces we can discuss.
Oh, my good God. And you dip the fruit in the barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes you don't need, I'm a confirmed carnivore, but sometimes you don't even need meat.
You know, you don't always need meat. We have full vegetable meals a lot, but on the grill, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Fire, I mean, it's the most primitive form of cooking. I don't know if you ever read Michael Pollan's Cooked, but he theorizes that our learning to cook is what made us have such big brains because we digest our food better. We didn't have to be on the run. It changed so many things about, there's a series on TV and also the book. But grilling fruit, I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's like making creme brulee. You get that little, the ribs from the grill get that little charred burnt sugar flavor and it plays off everything else. So when you're balancing flavor, the one component that people never talk about is bitter. And bitter is really important because it makes sweet things sweeter. Like in New Haven, they char their pizzas, so the cheese and tomatoes taste really sweet.
Oh.
When you get a little char on your fruit, it makes the fruit part taste even sweeter because you get that little bitter. Bitter is an important flavor profile.
You know, I want to talk, we'll talk in a moment about the barbecue sauce because it's really, it's amazing stuff. And that is something you didn't mention when we started. So let's talk about that. But let's take a call first. 800-348-2551. Kevin in Averill Park, how are you, sir?
Hello, Ray and Rick. How you doing today?
Hey, Kevin, how are you? Long time no see.
Got a couple quick questions. Yeah, a couple days. Quick question, as you probably have dozens of people that want to get on. Best fish for barbecue?
For grilling, you mean, or barbecuing?
For grilling.
Well, any of your steak fishes, obviously. Swordfish is really good because it won't break apart. Salmon works well. Tuna, if you're going to do it rare, you know, you're not going to get a lot of smoke flavor. It works well. Halibut cooks well, but you need a dense mahi-mahi. To me, mahi-mahi is one of my favorite fish to grill.
We did swordfish the other day. It came out perfect.
Yeah.
I think that's almost idiot-proof.
I was going to say, I think Ray's quite the grill master. I was going to get his take on that.
Well, so, yeah.
He's two votes for swordfish.
Yeah, and you know, all the kids liked it, and that's usually my barometer. If the kids eat it, then it's okay. This will be all right.
I did jerk mahi-mahi the other night. I rubbed some of my jerk seasoning on some mahi, and
the
mahi cooks up like chicken. It's just really got a density to it and fleshiness. It's really good.
We'll have to
try
that.
Want to try grilling a cod. You know, you can do whole fish like snapper and trout in the little fish, those little grabbers or like little metal cages. That works pretty well.
What about lobster?
Get on.
I've grilled lobster.
Yeah, does it work out?
What I did with the lobsters is I blanch them for about 4 minutes and then split them in half. And then you brush them and grill them cut side down. We did them at the restaurant all the time that way.
Hey, Kevin, are you the Kevin with the restaurant over in Averill Park?
Yeah, I'm the guy. I finally got all my permits in place, and I just have to get a staff.
Hell, that's
so
nice.
We're getting close.
It's a French restaurant. You're going to come on the show when you're ready to roll?
I believe I may have scheduled through the Friday before Seal Day. I think it's July 9th, but I'll look at my calendar.
Well, you know, I never know who's on the show. I knew Rick was on at the end of yesterday's show. So, hey, man, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you for calling, and we will definitely look forward to that one. 800-348-2551, the number. All right, Rick Orlando, the barbecue sauce, how'd you make it? Why isn't it in a bottle like all the other ones?
Well, okay, so this is breaking news. That is a barbecue sauce that is one of my two sauces that I'm developing in partnership with Nine Pin Cider.
Yeah.
So they called me about a month ago and said, hey, you want to make me some barbecue sauce?
Awesome.
I made a bunch of prototypes. That's one of the prototypes.
Yeah, oh, it's great.
And we did a tasting. We're doing one more tasting next week. We're going to pick two and get them out into the market. Hopefully, it takes about a month from conception to having the boxes in your hand. And we produce right in Albany at Vital Eats, so we'll be producing it here.
Without giving up too many trade secrets, how do you get the combo of sweet? I mean, most barbecue sauce has a good sweet component to it. How do you get that ratio right?
Can I hit you more curmudgeonous?
Absolutely.
Why has barbecue sauce become solely sweet?
I'm saying there's sweetness in it.
They have become solely sweet. When I was younger, their barbecue sauces had like a little spiciness, a little sour.
Well, yours does.
Of course, because I like to make sure that your whole tongue is involved. We don't want it. We're an inclusive business model.
Yeah,
every part of that tongue needs to be involved. So that has cider and tomato and tamarind and ginger and garlic and cider vinegar and a few other goodies. Maybe a little mustard. I can't tell everything.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Maybe a little chipotle. But I like to try to build a full symphony of flavors. We used to call it in the restaurant climbing the ladder. Well, you taste it and say, "How's that?" Good. Add a little more sour. Ooh, it's good, but it's a little too sour. Add a little more sweet. Oh, it's getting there. Add a little more salt. And you keep building it. To me, that's what Southeast Asian food does, is they climb the ladder until the flavor's like, you hit your mouth and you say, wow, that's everything all at once.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my philosophy of building flavors.
And the folks at Nine Pin requisitioned this.
Well, no, I'm going to produce it.
Right.
And we're going to co-brand it.
Yeah.
And I'm basically going to sell it to them to sell, and I'm going to sell it myself.
Your idea or their idea?
Their idea to do it, and then my idea to develop my idea to product. So we're going to be doing two, a light and like a blonde and a brown, or a dark and a light, or whatever we're going to call it, like the cider.
Yeah, well, I think you got a winner. No, I'm not joking there. This one is from Daniel, who says, next time WAMC has a fund drive, an incentive to donating should be an opportunity to win a chance to sit in on Food Friday, specifically with Rick Orlando. I never change the station or stop drooling when Rick is on. I'm very sorry,
Here's
Daniel.
Here's a napkin right here.
Daniel, it's a great idea, but there's not enough food for anyone else, so I apologize.
No, that's it.
This is from Emily. Emily says, I have loved all the info Rick has shared over the years. I was taught while on a camping trip to do chicken on the grill or campfire a little differently. We would wrap the raw chicken pieces with a little barbecue sauce tightly in foil, put the package on the grill for about half an hour or so, turning it once, then take it off, unwrap it, put the chicken back on the grill with a little more sauce until the outside got a little charred and glazed. It always made great chicken. Crispy outside, cooked through, but I think I'm hearing Rick say, this isn't the way. Sear first, wrap in foil, finish cooking second. Can you comment?
You know what? The way you're doing it is fine. I'm not a big fan of having foil on my food when it gets hot because the aluminum gets in your food. So if you're going to do it that way and it comes out great, wrap it in some parchment paper first, then in foil to protect yourself from eating a lot of aluminum, because especially now, the aluminum foil we have is very lower grade, and it'll get right into your food.
Yeah.
However, that works. It's almost like a classic hobo pack, right? Remember hobo packs?
No.
Can you say that anymore?
No, I never even heard of that.
We used to have them at camp where we'd put a piece of chicken, some potatoes, an ear of corn, maybe a sausage, a little sauce in a foil bundle and cook it over the fire and turn it once, then open it up and you'd eat it right out of the foil. But yeah, that works. I mean, basically what you're doing there is you're steaming the chicken and then searing it on the grill, and that works fine. It absolutely works fine.
You know, you don't strike me as the camp sort of dude.
You know, I've got a lot of secrets.
Really? I never went to camp. My folks never sent me to camp.
I was a single mom family. I went to day camp.
And oh, really?
I went to camp. Yeah, just get rid of me. You know, she had to work.
You ought to talk. You ever heard of Alan Chartok?
I know.
He's been to a lot of camps.
I know. He talks a lot about camp. Winnipesaukee or
Skumaragatsi. You got to get together over a bottle of the Trinidad and chat to camps with Alan.
Yeah, I like camp.
This is from Bobby. Bobby says, no question from me. Just want to let you know I picked up my first bottle of Richter Scale Purple Haze this week. Haven't had it with shrimp yet, but I'm charring calamari tonight on the grill and can't wait to pair them both. I'm a longtime fan from both New World Woodstock locations. Thank you for being a major player upping the Hudson Valley's food game. And that's from Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby.
That's a nice email right there.
Is that a Bobby with an I?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I've deleted it now, so I can't tell you. You know,
you don't archive them, huh?
Maybe someone does, but I sure don't. The last email. Can you recommend something for, we're on a scallop kick at my house.
Mm.
Can you recommend some spicy way to do that?
So, yeah, I mean, so the purple haze is pretty intense and scallops are very mild, but if you put the scallops in a pan with butter,
yeah,
and season, you know, sear them really good.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Add a little purple haze and a little more butter and maybe some fresh thyme and bits of pineapple or mango and swirl them around in the pan, you'll get a bridge. If you, when we did the purple haze shrimp at the restaurant, we always finished it with butter. And that would cut the heat and really release some of the flavors of the cabbage and ginger. There's thyme and there are all these neat little flavors because the fat of the butter kind of brings the flavor to a different place and it hits your tongue differently, right? So instead of being, ooh, this is hot, it's more like, this is kind of creamy, delicious. Oh, my God. And then the heat comes after that. So, yeah, that would be good.
Oh, genius. I mean, the last time we did it, and the reason I ask is the last time we did scallops, I put it in red sauce with spaghetti, and it was out of control. And so I figured maybe we could come up with some sort of a sauce for
that. That'd be fun, or even just a little taste a couple. Do a few and see how you like it.
All right, fair enough. Let's go back to the phones. Rick Orlando is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the number. Bobby in South Glens Falls. Another Bobby. Hello.
Hello. Yes, it is B-O-B-B-Y.
Hey, anyway, Bobby, how are you?
Go ahead.
My although my mother was born in Italy, my grandmother was Hungarian and born in Budapest. And she used to make a thing because she called it a bit of a peasant soup. She made a roux, and then she used caraway seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being, caraway seeds could be stored for years in a jar because they're like a dried seed.
Yeah.
And then she the caraway seeds, and she made. And then what she do is add dumplings, but not round meatball type dumplings. Sporta, I don't know what the right word is. Fetzel.
Yeah.
So she just throw those in. And as kids, we loved it. But it's an unusual soup you hardly find anywhere. We called it Timro soup, and its cousin would be sort of a mushroom, a very dark mushroom.
What kind of broth? What kind of broth was it? Was it chicken broth or just water, or what was the base?
She made a roux. Flour and probably maybe chicken broth.
Yeah.
And just kept on stirring it, and but it was really delicious. But the caraway seeds is what gave it that unusual flavor. And even as kids, you know, you'd think we'd stay away from it, but it was wonderful.
I love caraway seeds. There's caraway actually in my kesh seasoning. Which is on the Moroccan chicken, which you haven't eaten yet.
Oh, all right. Well,
and yeah, you're on the
3 minutes
you're on the
left.
Air.
I'll see what I can do. Yeah.
I also we used to have a dish back at Justin's, chicken with caraway and cream. We would just toss the chicken with caraway seeds and salt and pepper and a little flour and brown it, and then hit it with white wine and a little cream and some leeks, and just let it cook till it was through. Caraway is a great flavor. I also like aquavit.
Interesting.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bobby.
Yeah, aquavit.
I saw that in a liquor store. To explain,
it's basically caraway infused vodka, roughly.
Yeah.
Roughly speaking, we made Bloody Marys with it for a while, where we'd put like a little smoked salmon pinwheel in there to play on that Scandinavian Marcus Samuelson kind of gig, you know.
Yeah, but a Bloody Mary in Scandinavia. I mean, how many tomatoes are there? Right.
Well, they have plenty of clear liquor.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And tomato travels well.
You're right. Rick Orlando is our guest here. We got a few minutes left if you want to call in. Otherwise, we will shoot the breeze. What do you got coming up, man?
Well, you know, I'm doing regularly scheduled pop-ups in Cooksackie at the Lower Landing. I'm doing a few other little events. We're at the Troy and Delmar Farmers Market every Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a couple of people that work with me, and we're selling all of our spices and sauces and also off-the-menu stuff. That are not online that I make small batches of. Like, I have this stuff called Umami Bomb, which I make with wild forage mushrooms, which is like a mushroom seasoning that you can amplify anything from soup to rubs with. And I only make, like, I think I made 60 jars of it. So we bring it to the farmer's market and sell it out. We sell curried cashews. We sell remoulade sauce, you know, a bunch of stuff.
Now, do you actually go or do you just send your people?
I do both. Yeah. They're in charge of them both, so I don't have to wake up at crack of dawn every morning. But like this week, for instance, I'll be running the Del Mar stand myself.
Oh, really?
And I go to Troy. I usually, every Saturday, I'll get in the car around 9 and spend an hour at each one. But Courtney and Jessica are my two farmers market people. They love it, you know, and it's a lot of fun. And the markets have opened up, you know. I mean,
it's
people
great.
Are out, and it's just good to see.
It's going to be in the upper 80s tomorrow.
Yeah,
so, you know.
I'm ready. I've got my tank top ready.
Hey, you know, you mentioned mushrooms, and I know we only have 2 minutes left here, Rick, but you know, when I was a kid, I couldn't stand a mushroom. I couldn't eat it. I just get it away from me. And my kids are that way now. I've grown to love them. Give me a good way to grill them. I've never done this. I've never done a portobello or anything on the grill.
Portobello is the easiest, right? I mean, if you want to get your kids to try it.
Well, they won't eat it.
The reason why kids avoid mushrooms is pretty cool science behind this, is that young children have a built-in instinct in their DNA to not want to eat things that may poison them. Because back before we were highly civilized, kids spent most of their time outside, and little kids would eat just about anything. That's why they avoid bitter also, because there's a lot of bitter greens that are toxic out there.
When did we get civilized?
Yeah, right. We're working on it.
Yeah.
But the whole texture thing. But for me, a portobello, just some olive oil, salt and pepper, maybe a little rosemary, grill it on the cap side, turn it over, let it get...
For how long?
You mark it, and then you turn it over, and you let it cook until it's tender and not dry anymore, 3 or 4 minutes. A few drops of maybe good balsamic. It's delicious. I mean, they're really good. Or cremini mushrooms. If you get wild mushrooms, obviously, that's really fun. But creminis are small portobellos. You can put them on skewers. They also work with Asian flavors really well. A little hoisin sauce, a little soy sauce, stuff like that. Ginger. They love ginger.
Yeah, you know, that is something that might be on my, I mean, maybe. I mean,
I have a couple of friends that love everything except for mushrooms, and I say why, and they say it's a texture thing, and I'm like, well, you're 50 years old now, go revisit it. Last time you had one is when you were 8,
and the texture is great, especially with a steak or
yeah,
something like that.
I love mushrooms.
All right, Rick Orlando, we're almost done. How do people find you on the internet?
I'm very easy. My name is Rick Orlando,
but it's not the usual way you spell Rick.
There is no K in Rick. Yeah. So you can go to rickorlando.com or you can go to shop.rickorlando.com.
Oh, very clever.
And you'll find my pop-ups, my Sicily tour, which we only have 4 seats left. We're going to Sicily October 16th to the 24th. I do these immersive, we call them experiential tours, where you meet people, you meet farmers, you meet grandmothers. You find out about all the other stuff I do.
I've met enough grandmothers. I don't know.
And Sicily, it's a lot of fun.
Way to sell it. Hey, man, it was great having you
Thanks,
here,
Ray.
And we will talk to you very soon. Good luck with the hit single. You know,
you never know. Born hungry, I am.
Next time you show up, you'll be in a limo. support comes from River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts, a food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery, rivervalley.coop. Big Y, a local family and family-owned. That's right, I can't read. Big Y, a local family-owned and operated market serving communities in Massachusetts and Connecticut for 85 years with local produce and products, meat and seafood, BigY.com. Thanks again to Rick Orlando for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks for the great calls and emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took the calls. I'm Ray Graff. I will do remedial reading education this weekend. I will see you Monday at 2, and we will talk about vaccines on a Medical Monday. Have a splendid, safe weekend. Stand by now for the best of our knowledge.